I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey everybody, welcome into The Memo for this Wednesday, August the 3rd, the first day of school. Welcome back to school, kids. I hate it for you.
Do you?
I do.
I'm sorry. Because,
I mean, yeah, I have to get up every day and don't get a summer vacation like they do, but I still don't have to go to school, and this makes me happy. And they do. And so this morning,
three of the five had to go to school today.
True, yes. The one's in college, and she starts later this month, and the other one's, like, not even a year old.
Close.
But the 14-year-old, I told her, are you looking forward to 180 days of school? She was like, it's really 180 days?
Oh, God, that's terrible.
You say it that way.
That's...
Yeah, so I like to...
Actually, that doesn't sound as bad as until May. Like, 180 doesn't sound...
I guess not.
That actually sounds kind of doable. It's still a pretty big number. Yeah. That sounds like something you can mark off, scratching the inside of your cell every day.
Quantifiable.
Yeah. I've been here 3 weeks.
Countdown.
You've been here 4 hours. Oh, God.
So I know all three of us had kids go off to school today. My kids didn't cry. Of course, they're in 6th, 9th, and 10th grade, so I hope not.
Did you cry?
No.
Did you weep a little bit?
No, I didn't.
Did you a little bit?
No. It's okay. Tears of joy?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody else's problem from 7:30 to 3:30.
Apparently, a thing now that you're supposed to do is make a sign, you know, because everybody takes the first day of school pictures and post them on Facebook, which I did.
Oh, come on,
I did not do the sign.
Deanna, really?
My wife made me do it.
No, boy.
I took one picture of mine asleep in bed just to remind her this is what you look like.
I love your son's expression. He's like, really? I got to hold this? Really? Thanks, Mom. Oh, Daniel's cute. Yeah, that's classic.
You did take one first day of school picture.
No sign, but one of my kids was holding a waffle that she was eating. There's that. She does not look awake.
She was not.
Just carried her.
Got a tongue sticking out.
Woke her up in the classroom.
Like a cat.
That's the way she sleeps.
Sleeps like a cat with her tongue
with her
sticking
sleep
out.
Mask on. Like a friggin' diva.
Sleep. Oh, so Wesley... off to a good start.
Yeah, she started kindergarten. So
wow, she's in kindergarten already?
She is in kindergarten.
Fun times.
Then the Tupelo Public School District.
So. Once you get to kindergarten, you got to start coloring inside the lines or they'll fail you.
Yeah, she's already been doing that. She's okay. She fixed my radio the other day, so she's already, you know, way up there.
Nice. She's going to enroll in the VOTEC. youngest VOTEC student.
She rolled out from under my car the other day, wiping her hands, and said, yep, you got a new catalytic converter. You got to fix that. I didn't even know you.
Hand me the socket wrench, Dad. Not that one. That's not a socket wrench, Dad.
I need a 4/8. Give me a 4/8. What?
4/8.
That's a metric. What are you doing? That one's metric.
Oh, man. Remember learning
start
about...
Start it now.
Remember learning metric in school? I always thought it was so dumb. I'm like, I got enough trouble remembering yards and inches and all that stuff. Now you're throwing all this metric crap at me, which I know that like 99% of the world uses metric. And I guess we do to an extent, but I still can't get my brain around it. I've been, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so we learned both, but you just kind of gravitate. I mean,
I was told there would be no math.
When you watch, like when I'm watching sports growing up, it's all about football fields with yards. Okay, 100-yard football field, 90 feet between bases, 94-foot court, okay, 60 feet.
I could just see 8-year-old Brad. They don't use that in football.
60 feet.
I don't want to learn it.
60 feet, 6 inches between the mound and home plate. How many meters is that? I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
What about Olympic track?
You see, that's another thing. You used to have the 100-yard dash. So if you ran that in, like, I don't know, 10 seconds, that's pretty fast. Is now 100 meters in 10 seconds, is that faster or slower?
Everybody knows the Olympics are rigged.
I don't know. Hey, Olympics start this week.
Friday night.
How about those Russians?
As John Pitts called them, the Andy Dufresne games.
The Zika Nationals. The Zika Nationals.
They'll be swimming through 2 miles of, you know what. Yeah. So anyway, we got a good show today, don't we?
We do.
We got Jenna Parsons coming on later to talk about food.
Mm-hmm, as well as Emma Kent.
Yeah, Emma Kent's not going to talk about food. But
she'll
talk
about... She didn't bring anybody coffee either. Well, she brought somebody coffee.
Yeah, she brought Chris coffee. Mm-hmm. Our intern leaves and suddenly Chris has... reporters bringing us coffee, bringing him coffee.
We were
not
at,
us, just him.
We were at this
no, there's no explanation. No, I don't want any explanation.
Okay, whatever.
No.
Sure. I was up at 4:45.
Pardon me.
Hit the desk again.
Well, I'm proud of myself. This won't happen again. This won't happen again, probably.
I don't know about that. But
aside, I'm going to try to start going to the gym in the mornings because my night times are just so busy and I'm tired and you're not supposed to apparently work out after you eat. I don't know. You're supposed to do it before. And so I'm like, okay, just get it out of the way in the morning. I got up at 4:45. I beat all the Tupelo moms to the treadmills. I was afraid they'd be full up at that hour. And then I get home, do my work.
That's sexist.
Get the kids up to school. No, dude, it's a fact. Go up there about 6 o'clock. It's a bunch of women my age.
A bunch of women my age
on the treadmill.
You're sexist.
No, it's just a fact. Mm. It's fine.
Misogynistic.
So I had to get up. I had to get there early to beat them to the punch, to get on the treadmill. So I'm probably going to crash about 3 o'clock. Just letting you know.
So
right in the middle of our meeting.
So a normal day, huh?
That being led by Clay Foster, I'll fall asleep.
Not Clutch.
Clay have to thump me on the head.
Do we have a meeting today?
No, I do. You don't.
Is it about
you're not
me?
You're not invited.
Is it about me?
We talk about important stuff in there, Derek.
I guess only people who get coffee brought to them.
Who else we got on the show? I forgot. I interrupted.
William Moore is going to be joining us as well.
Yes. I'm talking with us about the whole Shumpert Tyler Cook situation. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, I suppose we should stop rambling and get to the show.
I want to remember that today's episode is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods on East Main Street in Tupelo, formerly the Palmer's Supermarket.
Now let's welcome in crime reporter William Moore to the show. William, how you doing?
Glad to be here. Doing good.
Been kind of busy this week, haven't you?
It's been busy the past week or so.
Yeah.
and a half.
Yeah. On Monday, of course, had the news about the grand jury clearing Officer Tyler Cook of any wrongdoing in the fatal shooting of Ronnie Shumpert. And not surprisingly, the family's attorney, Carlos Moore, and the family both still refuting the information that's out there right now, the findings of the NBI investigation. So looks like we're still in a sense. I mean, yeah, he's cleared, but the story's not over, is it?
The story, I mean, it's far from over. Yeah. Just with the, you have two different sides, basically. One, you know, yeah, it's sort of a he said kind of thing. You know, the police and the city say, here's what's happened. You know, here are the facts. And their story was backed up by the Mississippi Bureau of Investigations.
Yeah.
You know, when they delved into this situation, the family's still refuting and still saying it happened differently. We don't believe this.
Yeah.
And I mean, one of the reasons they are still saying that is because they have not gotten a copy of the autopsy or the NBI investigation.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that will come out here in the next week or so, probably. Come out through because the family has sued the city and Officer Cook and the police department and Police Chief Aguirre in federal court. So through that discovery process, they will get all that information.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get to see all that. You know, one of the things that sort of got lost in all the shuffle Monday was Officer Jason Whittington.
Yeah.
You know,
another officer involved shooting.
Yeah. See, everybody talks about the, you know, Ronnie Shumpert shooting on June 18th, but a week before, there was another Tupelo police involved shooting where Lindarius Witherspoon shot his pregnant girlfriend outside of Baldwin, drove back to Tupelo, got in onto a high-speed chase, shot a Facebook Live video saying, claiming to have killed a Tupelo cab driver a month earlier. You know, and that one ended up in a wreck inside of apartment complex and a shootout.
Yeah.
You know, the officer Jason Whittington was also cleared by you know, a grand jury on Monday.
That one a little more cut and dry from our perspective,
It was a little more cut and dry. I mean, nobody said, all right, well, you know, that's a dead person, you know, was a saint, an unarmed man. I mean, it was obvious, all right, he got into a gun battle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was shooting at police cars all along Cliff Gookin Boulevard. So you know, the folks got upset, you know, with Ronnie Shumpert, the fact that he was unarmed.
Right, right. And, you know, and the facts that a couple of the facts that are at the center of the dispute is, did the dog attack Ronnie Shumpert? Did Shumpert attack the officer? And then the officer says he was beating him into unconsciousness. And then, you know, some people question his use of force with the gun. I don't know. I don't think. Did Tupelo police carry tasers?
He did not. Okay. Some do. Okay. But, you know, he did not. I mean, he
Right, right. Okay, okay. So he had a gun.
Yeah, there's a dispute between, all right, was Shumpert, you know, coming out trying to give himself up and the dog attacked him? Or did Shumpert, was he attacked? Or did the dog, you know, flush him out from under this house and then he attacked the officer?
Right. And according to the NBI's investigation, he kind of got away from the dog a little bit and then attacked. The officer jumped on him. Now, Carlos Moore, the family attorney, says he has a witness who would dispute that, but that witness is apparently too scared to come forward, so we don't really have another perspective there.
Well, Carlos had earlier said that he had two witnesses that were in the scene that, you know, had video of it, and, you know, it was later turned out through the NBI investigation that those two people were actually stopped by another police officer and were not allowed into the area.
Okay, yeah,
because there was a chase on trying to find Mr. Shumpert.
Right.
And while they were still being detained, those two people and the officer heard the gunshots.
Right.
So they were not able to see anything.
Yeah, because this is in someone's backyard.
Right. And what Carlos is saying, what the family's attorney, Carlos Moore, said Monday afternoon was someone came forward and called a brother-in-law and said he saw the whole thing. He saw the dog attack. But he called from a block number, and he refused to come forward. He basically said he was scared and refused to come forward. So, you know, this is the first we've heard of this witness. And, you know, apparently he has not called the family back.
Yeah.
So there's no further information on that case.
Yeah. I mean, this is just one of those cases where you'd like to just for everybody to look at the facts, and but it's impossible for people, especially the family, obviously, to take emotion out of it. You understand that. But even when you're presented with these facts, there's still people are going to be like, well, this might not be the whole story, or the NBI is simply just restating what Tupelo, I mean, because the facts did pretty much line up with what the city of Tupelo had said a few weeks ago.
Right, it followed the city's version.
So they questioned the method of investigation, I guess.
And that's one of the reasons why there were no charges filed in, you know, state criminal court. That's one of the reasons why there is a federal lawsuit involved now.
Right, right.
You know, and now, since the state investigation has been completed, the U.S. Department of Justice is going to take another look at the state investigation and see if there's anything that they can find in there that warrants going further with a federal investigation into possible criminal charges.
Because the FBI did meet with the Shumpert family on Monday, didn't they?
FBI officer met with the Shumpert family Monday evening, you know, gave them, you know, a rundown of, you know, how the process works. And I mean, there's no set timeline. I mean, it could take anywhere from, you know, 2 months to 2 years.
Yeah.
So there's no timeline. And basically, the way the FBI handles things, they don't give running updates on where the investigation stands.
Yeah.
You just won't, they're not going to say a word until it's done one way or another. Either we didn't find any evidence for criminal charges, or we took it to a grand jury and here's the indictment.
Right. So we've got that, a possible federal investigation. And then we've got, as you mentioned earlier, the lawsuit.
You know, and then on the other hand, the other thing that folks are kind of wondering about are the two officers, Tyler Cook and Jason Winton, have both been on administrative leave with pay since, you know, mid-June.
Yeah.
You know, so they're now, the city, the police department, and the city's HR department are working together to try to figure out, you know, when these officers can return to the force, active duty, and what role they will play.
Right.
You know, because you don't know that they'll actually go back directly out on patrol.
Especially Tyler Cook.
You know, he's a dog handler.
Right.
And Alec is an older dog that was probably, you know, might be going to be retired here soon.
Right.
So, you know, that might cause him to have to shift.
I got you.
You know, his duties within the police department, you know, because if his dog's retired, he won't be that. You know, they might get a new dog, or he might get shifted into another role.
I'm curious if at some point we'll ever hear from Tyler Cook, his thoughts on this. I'm sure, obviously not right now with everything going on, but somewhere down the line,
but it'll probably be after the conclusion of the federal investigation and federal civil trial.
Yeah, so probably going to be a good while.
I figure the police department is going to ask him to retain, you know, refrain from speaking to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's probably smart, too. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many angles to this story, William. And, again, you had the story today about Shumpert family hoping for a federal investigation. You can find that in your daily journal or at djournal.com, and good coverage earlier this week from you and others as well. So we'll keep track of it. And good work, William. Thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here.
Be sure to look for the Two Sports Podcast we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live at around 11 a.m. at djournal.com or catch the replay later in the day. The podcast version drops later on. You can listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Got a new episode today. It's actually going to be Blake Morgan, our new high school reporter, co-hosting with me. So look for that new episode this afternoon. And for Ole Miss and MSU fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. The guys are back this week, so look for that on Thursday. You're going to have former Ole Miss Rebel running back Deuce McAllister on the show. And let's welcome Emma Kent into the program, education reporter for the Journal. How you doing, Emma?
Good. How are you, Brad?
Good. First day of school. You got to start working again.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way.
Yeah, well, you've been working all summer. But I want to talk with you. I guess we'll talk about that just for a second. You've been out. You've seen all the smiling faces and brand new clothes and crying parents and everything this morning.
Yeah. Well, I actually didn't really see very many tears this morning.
Oh, that's good.
All the kids that I talked to.
You weren't looking at Brad.
All the kids that I talked to were either very shy and didn't really say much or were excited to be at school and were kind of like, see ya. Cool. Bye, Mom. You know. So which is good, you know.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, it's happening.
It is. 180 days, give or take. So let's talk about this story, though, you had on Sunday about career readiness, more of an emphasis on that around here nowadays, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what form does it take? We've seen it like with this Imagine the Possibilities Career Expo, for instance, last fall. So stuff like that.
Yeah, just more more activities and kind of bringing or working that into the curriculum more. So, you know, when you're talking about maybe a certain skill in math or science or English, you're tying that to, you know, this ties into this career, or this ties into what these people do in the real world, kind of helping kids make that connection between this is what I'm doing in the classroom, but, you know, eventually it's going to relate to what I'm going to do in the real world when I'm an adult, which, you know, it's for a kid, you don't see past your lunch, really, but
no.
But I think they're trying to help make that connection. So.
I don't see past lunch, to be honest. That's all I can think about right now. No, but and it's kind of a national shift this direction because, you know, when I was growing up and going through school, it was all about got to go to college, got to get good grades, got to make good test scores, got to get into college. But, you know, as I've learned over the years, college ain't for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if a kid can learn some things about that might help him get a job with Toyota, for instance, which is, I believe, has played a big role in this locally, then that's what they need to do, need to have that avenue available.
Right. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has certain skills and they certain talents or whatever. And, you know, college might be the right thing for one kid. You know, you might need to go to college if you want to go to law school or do something. It just depends, you know, but some kids can, you know, make a really great living and have a career in manufacturing or, you know, even some technology, that kind of anything. You know, there's just all kinds of options.
And this is going to expose kids to things they might not have known about. Like in the story you mentioned, you know, a kid from Boonville might not know much about aerospace engineering, but they can learn about it through something like this.
Right, because you generally know, like, what you're surrounded by. You know what your parents do and what your friends' parents do and, you know, about your local businesses and that kind of thing. But, you know, like, we don't have, like that, we don't have aerospace engineering in Tupelo.
Yeah.
So, but that's still an option for kids, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So this program that's rolling out says in the story Saltillo, New Albany, Pontotoc, and North Pontotoc. Tell us a little bit about exactly what this program is.
It's like a computer career. It's kind of just like another career program. It's software, and it's helping them. It just goes a little deeper with them trying to figure out maybe what they want to do and exposing them to career options and teaching them some like soft skills. Like they'll do, you know, paired with the software, they'll do like interview skills and things like that, that they, those older kids
sure.
really need to work on before they hit graduation. So, so yeah, that'll be, it's kind of a pilot program with, the Mississippi Department of Education, yeah, and that'll be rolling out this fall.
It's so. one of the many new initiatives being rolled out. So that's cool. Okay. And there's some other things or programs that you know, you could tell us about, and like with Create Foundation.
Yeah, Create
doing something.
Locally, Create has been a big proponent of this kind of push for career readiness. They've set aside like $200,000 in grant money for teachers from Lee, Pontotoc, and Union counties to apply for, and basically teachers come up with, you know, a plan to incorporate career readiness into their curriculums, whether that be, you know, a certain type of activity they want to be able to do in their classroom, or a field trip to some kind of industry that they want to expose the kids to. Create is going to be taking grant applications for those things, and then,
yeah.
you know, giving money to teachers so they can do those things. So the application for those grants, I believe, is open now. If not right now, it'll be open in the next week or so.
Okay.
And then, let's see.
Oh, then you got the Mississippi Department of Education with the diploma options. You can get like five different certificates. What are those
different
exactly?
Different certificate options. I'm not clear on exactly each one. I can't remember what they all
right.
are, but they're, you know, you have one like your traditional, if you're going to college,
yeah.
you have your college degree, and then you've got, I know you can get like a vocational one. And then of course, I don't know specifically what all the other options are,
sure.
but basically it's kind of, you can get one that's geared toward what your next steps are.
I got you.
And so, you know, if you're in high school and you're going more the career tech route, you're not going to go to college, but you might get a technical degree.
Yeah.
You won't be required. It's a difference in the credits that you get
sure.
in high school. So you can get more career tech credits for that diploma rather than
yeah.
needing more foreign language or language English or things like that. I mean,
right,
it's just
right.
differences like that. So,
okay.
So it's giving kids more options as far as getting to graduation.
All right. Well, y'all can find out more about that in that Sunday story or at djournal.com. Emma, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Groups formed by the legislature began their study on how the state collects and spends revenue. House Speaker Philip Gunn and Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves have formed 10 working groups of House and Senate members and a representative of Governor Phil Bryant's office. The groups held their initial meetings on Monday. They will study the state's tax structure and spending practices and will make recommendations to the legislature for possible changes. Gunn said he hopes the study results in an overall reduction in taxes. Reeves says he wants a fair, flat tax code that puts more money in Mississippians' pockets and encourages economic growth.
A small alligator was captured after it was spotted roaming an area of South Main Street in Amory on Saturday. The Amory Police and Fire Departments worked with MedStat and the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks to capture the gator. Ray Darty of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks estimated the alligator was 4 feet long and weighed 45 to 50 pounds. It was released to a wildlife management area.
A prayer rally seen as an opportunity for the healing of community division and racial discord has been canceled. First Baptist pastor Matt Powell said many of the involved clergy felt the event could not be successful at this time. The cancellation comes after a Lee County grand jury on Monday offered no criminal indictment of Tupelo Police Officer Tyler Cook over the shooting death of Antoine Ronnie Shumpert. Plantersville resident Ellis Westbrook was an uncle to Shumpert and helped spearhead the planning of the prayer event. He said it would be bad timing to host a unity rally in the middle of the community trying to heal all over again. The event had been scheduled to be held tonight. Westbrook said much work must be done before the prayer rally could go forward as originally planned.
Members of Tupelo's Cross Point Ministries are participating in a variety of community service events as part of the church's first Reach Week. On Tuesday, volunteers from Cross Point delivered 120 goodie bags to patients at North Mississippi Medical Center Cancer Care. They also helped clean up the Boys and Girls Club's ahead of the return of students to their after-school programs. Reach Week started Sunday with a canned food drive benefiting Helping Hands Food Pantry. Today, the church will move its Wednesday night services to Gumtree Park and will also host a hot dog dinner and games. As the week continues, church members will volunteer with Habitat for Humanity and deliver water to police officers.
Tupelo Police Officer Jason Whittenden was cleared of any criminal wrongdoing in the June 11th shooting of a fleeing murder suspect. A Lee County grand jury decided not to charge Whittenden in the shooting death of 27-year-old Lindarius Cortez Witherspoon. Witherspoon was accused of shooting and killing his pregnant girlfriend in Baldwin and then leading police on a car chase through Tupelo. The chase ended with a crash and gunfire in the parking lot of the Hilldale Apartments on Monument Street. Lee County District Attorney John Weddle said the officer saw Witherspoon raise and point his weapon. The officer then fired shots into Witherspoon's car. Need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and the employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother Jason are the third-generation owners of the East Tupelo Grocery Store that was founded in 1957. The Palmer brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program, so the store now sells its groceries at 10% over cost. That's allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. So visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices.
It's Wednesday. Jenna Parsons joining us now. I just had a Jolly Rancher in your honor since we're discussing candy.
Oh, okay.
And things of that nature. You went up to Corinth to a retro candy shop recently.
He talks about people on their first trip there being like kids in a candy shop. Mm-hmm. That was me. Literally, figuratively, I'm pointing at stuff and saying, oh my gosh, I remember that. Oh, look. It was cool.
That's the aesthetic he was going for, I assume, with
well,
this establishment.
He has a big crowd of teenagers after school. They come in, and in fact, there were some kids that were at band camp, and I would say they were probably 16, 17. They came in. They all bought a soda, a cane sugar soda, and they also bought candy.
Yeah,
they were buying taffy and...
In addition to the candy, he does have these pops as well.
357 different sugar cane sodas. And I had one. I had an Oh So Grape, and it was oh so good.
Of all the things you saw there, and you brought back a bunch, I got to sample a couple of different things you brought back. What was your, just the rarest or the thing that surprised you the most to see
there? I don't know
there?
If it was the rarest, but the things that I just couldn't get over, things I hadn't thought about in years. There were wax fangs, mm-hmm. and cinnamon toothpicks, and they were even in, do y'all remember those?
Those, yeah.
When we were kids, they used to sell them in little wax paper bags, and it was like a nickel, and they're not a nickel anymore. And the other thing was he had both candy cigarettes and the cigarette bubble gum.
Dude, I was like in 6th, 7th grade. It was candy cigarettes, man.
I know.
Go buy some of those. You feel like a man.
Isn't that awful? And sometimes they'd be stuck together. You yeah. remember, and you'd get like two for one.
Do they still have the
little red tip
on the end?
Because
I think I'd seen some recently. They didn't have that. They don't want them to look like cigarettes. They don't call them that. They call them something else.
This does because it it is the old fashioned candy. Yeah. But all these candy bars like Zagnut and Mars and Mallow Cups and things that I just hadn't seen or thought about in years. It's quite a lot to take in.
We should probably give the name of the establishment.
It is the Old Time Soda Company, and it's on Fillmore Street, right across from the tourism depot building, the tourism office.
There in Corinth.
Mm-hmm, Charles Rushing is the owner. He has a rare blood disease. His body makes too much blood, so every so often... He has to go and they take blood from him. Now, he can't donate it because it's a disease. But I've never heard of it before. It's got a really long name, and I'm not even going to try to tell you it. So he tries to be in the store as often as he can be, but his family helps out when he can't be there.
When did this open?
November 2015.
Oh, okay. So still a new thing.
It is still a new thing, and he's fixing to add hand-dipped ice cream so that he can make root beer floats and Coke floats, and when you got 357 different sodas, mm-hmm. I mean, you could have any kind of float you wanted.
Purple Nurples.
Purple Nurples he's going to be making. Yeah, and he knows the history of all the drinks. Like, he's got one called Bubble Up, which I believe was the precursor to 7-Up and Sprite, where they just changed the formula a little bit and changed the name, but you can pick up any soda in there, and he will tell you the history of it.
He's pretty amazing.
He's a wealth of knowledge and just a really neat guy.
Tell us about your cook of the week this week.
Young and pretty and funny, and told me right when I got there that she was going to have to be careful because her mother and her sister both said, do not tell all your secrets.
All right.
And I don't think they were talking about cooking secrets. I think they... She did tell me, though, this was...
She's a newspaper woman. You don't talk to her about nothing.
Don't tell her about the bodies.
Leslie Chris, when she was reading my story, said that her favorite quote in it was when she said that her mom didn't like to have her with her in the kitchen mm-hmm. because she always made a mess because she stirred too big. And anybody who cooks knows what that means. You know, if you stir too big, stuff slops out and gets all messy. But she has three young kids and got to meet the littlest girl, Sims. And her husband is the basketball coach, the girls' basketball coach at Tupelo High. Mm-hmm. So she's involved with that. She's a school nurse at Guntown. But she also works one day a week at Sanctuary Hospice House because she worked in hospice before she moved to the school system and she didn't want to get away from that.
Mary, so, is her name? Mary Carmen?
Mary Carmen. She goes by a double name. Yeah. Mary Carmen Justice.
I'll make sure I had that right.
And she made a chicken salad that we tasted when we were there, Lauren and I, Lauren, the photographer. And so I went home maybe the next day and made it, and it was so good. But it made so much.
Really?
It was good. I'm sorry I didn't bring y'all any.
That's okay. You brought me some candy.
I'm sure it had something in it. Do you like celery, Brad? It had celery in it.
I like celery.
Oh, well, there we go. Do you like grapes?
I love grapes. Green ones. The purple ones, I can take them or leave them.
Well, this one had the purple ones in it.
Yeah, okay.
It was good.
He sounds so bitter. one thing I liked is she lives in between her in-laws and her... parents.
Her parents were on one side, her in-laws on the other, her aunt's two doors down, and she said she wouldn't know how to live anywhere else.
Yeah.
She lives in the Unity community.
Reminds me. Fitting. That reminds me how I grew up across the street from my grandparents, so that made me smile when I read that. And your column this week, what are we discussing
it
there?
It is a seared salmon. You just sear the salmon in a skillet. Do you
say
like salmon, Brad?
Fast.
I don't remember.
Love salmon.
Okay. Mm.
And can you sear it in a skillet? Can you sear salmon in a skillet?
I can't cook.
Can you sear salmon in a skillet?
And can you say it three times fast?
Sear salmon in a skillet, sear salmon in... No,
no.
I can't.
Well, Charlie actually made this meal.
Salmon, actually.
It's nobody pronounces salmon.
I do, actually.
The L is silent.
Okay.
It's only salmon when you make them out of patties.
Oh, I love salmon patties.
Oh,
I just eat those all the time growing
terrible.
Up. So good.
Back to this recipe.
Yeah, excuse me.
It,
for salmon.
You make a Caesar salad, and actually we made, Charlie made homemade croutons, and we chopped up the romaine, and we did buy the salad dressing, but the salmon, you season it with, it says a Creole seasoning, and he used Tony Sachery's, and it was really spicy. He cut it a little bit with Italian seasoning, but... you could make your own seasoning, whatever you wanted, but it was really nice over this salad. Perfect meal for these hot summer days and nights.
And one day you're going to have us all over, right?
One day I shall.
Yes.
One day we'll do the podcast from the dining room.
Oh.
Yeah. And
now we're talking.
If y'all don't mind cats on the table, we're good to go.
That's as long as that's not the meal.
No.
One of them dies, we just cook it.
I could never eat Sheldon and Leonard and Little Murray Smalls.
There you go.
Of the Tupelo Smalls.
Jenna, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for this Wednesday episode of The Memo. It was a fun one.
Yes. Yes, it was. We learned a lot.
We sure did.
And now I'm putting on my sweater and my shoes. Going to the land of make-believe, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were doing there for a second.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers, I got you.
That's good.
Okay. Wait, this is the land of make-believe, or we go back to the land of make-believe?
I really hope this isn't reality, I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, everyone, enjoy
your... If I spend all eternity with you, I'm going to be worried.
Well, I hope everyone is enjoying their first day of school, learning lots of stuff.
Yes.
Not getting in schoolyard fights.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. That's no good. Don't bully people.
Don't go breakfast club on the first day. I'll end up in Saturday school together. I'd say that to Emma, but she wouldn't get the reference.
Yeah, she was not even a thought in her parents' minds at that point when that movie came out, was she? Anyway, y'all can find us online and you can listen to us a variety of ways. Of course, on iTunes and your podcast apps player.fm, Stitcher, Satchel. Just go subscribe to the podcast. You'll get alerted every time a new episode drops. And you can also find us online at memo.djournal.com. On Twitter, at djournalmemo. Give us a follow. Mm-hmm. Give me a follow, please. Cool. I'm begging for followers.
Oh, God.
At Brad Locke.
All right.
Give Derek a follow.
I can take or leave it.
At W. Derek Russell.
That's fine.
He wants followers.
Did you seriously try to get verified?
I sure did. I thought, why not? I was like, hey.
How fragile is your ego?
Well, pretty fragile.
Okay.
Obviously.
Just want to make sure.
I'm begging for followers.
Yeah.
I need validation.
This is what spurred the comment.
Yes. Chris Kiefer's on Twitter, at Chris Kiefer.
That's him.
All right. I guess that's it. That's all I got. I got no more plugs to give. Then.
No plugs?
We'll be back tomorrow.
Will we?
Yeah, I will. Sure? Well, you never know, Derek, but no. That's the plan.
Every day is a gift.
Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.